Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Talk about it here on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. We are very happy to welcome in our NFL insider from NFL Network, our good friend Brian Baldinger. Thanks for joining us unannounced, Baldy. We really appreciate it. Picking up the phone in an emergency to talk about what this situation now means for Kyle Shanahan and company. Do you think that this is just trying to negotiate in public, or is there a real looking to get out of town from Raheem Mostert?
Well, I mean, it's really who's going to blink first here. Raheem Mostert and his agent make this statement. Obviously, he had a good final, you know, 8, 9, 10 games of the season. You know, the monster game and the NFC Championship game where he really – you know, made a name for himself that day with his four touchdowns and 220 yards. But it's, you know, look, the player has two choices to make, either play under the contract that he has been given and has signed, or withhold his services, or demand a trade. I mean, and so that's where he's at right now. I don't think that the 49ers are in any position to have to budge right now. But, I mean, they've got Tevin Coleman and Jerick McKinnon. If they feel like they could wait this thing out. I don't know right now, with less than 3 weeks to go before the start of training camp, that many teams are in a position to trade for Raheem Mostert at this point. The money has dried up. The draft picks have been selected. The free agents have been selected. I don't know that, you know, teams feel a need right now to go up and pick Raheem Mostert up. And the other part to this whole thing, Damon, is, you know, look, Raheem Mostert had a couple of really phenomenal games. But we have seen a lot of backs have phenomenal games behind the system that Kyle Shanahan puts in place there. They really benefit by all the zone blocking scheme and all the pre-snap motion and all the things that they do to teams to really confuse them and to open up that run game. And he doesn't want to hear that. But the running backs do. Matt Breida and Tevin Coleman, and you can list a whole bunch of guys that have run in that scheme that have all had success.
Ian Rappaport just tweeted out that what Mostert is looking for is a bump to Coleman money, which is about a little more than $2 million a year. Does that tell you that this is more about Kyle Shanahan's philosophy about contracts in general, or about his philosophy about running backs in general?
I think we're going to find out. I have a feeling that it's more about his philosophy and running backs. You know, they signed Jerick McKinnon to a huge contract. Obviously, he was injured and didn't perform last year. They had a guy, you know, they had a system-type back that would fit with what Mike McDaniels, the run coordinator, really likes. Matt Breida, you know, really fit in well with the system, had trouble staying healthy. You could see, go to, you know, obviously Kyle's father in Denver and look at all the different guys that had success in that system. You know, if you do as he teaches you to do, you're going to have success. And if you have top flight speed the way Raheem Mostert does, you can go have yourself a real fine season when given the opportunity. So I have a feeling that it's really kind of Kyle's philosophy in running backs, and I don't think that they're really going to buckle at this point. Tevin Coleman had great success with Kyle in Atlanta. He knew what he offered him. Mike McDaniels was there in Atlanta with him. They knew the type of speed that Tevin Coleman had, one cut runner, and they paid him accordingly. Raheem Mostert, you know, look, he had success. You kind of have to sometimes cash in with that success and strike when the iron's hot. The iron's hot the way he finished the season.
Understanding that it's tough for someone to trade for a running back at this moment, like you said, are there teams you think of as natural fits for a guy who has shown that in the right system he can be extremely productive?
Well, I look at a team like Philadelphia Eagles, all right, where Miles Sanders is their starting running back right now, and he really showed a lot the second half of the season last year, and I think he's going to be a real breakout star. But they don't really have somebody behind him right now. They have a kid, Boston Scott, that they, you know, was off the street last year, played well in a couple of games, but he doesn't have, you know, anywhere near what we just saw from Raheem Mostert of the second half of the season. The irony is that Raheem Mostert, I think, started his career in Philadelphia as a practice squad player. You know, went through a bunch of different teams before he found the 49ers. But I would say, like, the Philadelphia Eagles don't have much depth at running back. They were interested in a couple of backs in free agency and during that period, and they didn't sign anybody. But I think there's a real need there in Philadelphia. And, you know, if I was the agent for Raheem Mostert, I wouldn't mind picking up the phone to see what Howie Roseman has to say about his skills and what it might take to pry him loose.
Our friend Brian Baldinger here on 95.7 The Game. So Raheem Mostert will be an interesting decision for the 49ers to make. Do they have a dance partner? Are they willing to dance? Are they willing to trade him? If they're not, you know, I mean, he comes back and he is still among the highest paid special teamers. If he's saying that he is a special teams contract, he's got the biggest contract of any special teamer in football. I mean, really what the Niners did was pay him to be an excellent special teamer with running back upside. And, you know, they bet right. He was signed as an unrestricted free agent before he came back and agreed to this three-year deal. So I don't want to say that he is suffering of the disease of Moore, but we hear about this. You know, teams get successful. Raheem Mostert, God bless him, he's not even a one-year wonder. He's like a half-a-year wonder and an NFC title game wonder, a playoff game wonder. So I just do not know what leverage he truly has, if any at all. And when you bring up the timing of just about everybody's roster is kind of close to set right now, I think he's barking up the wrong tree here, Brian.
Well, I mean, he has that right to do it. You know, I've seen a lot of players buckle pretty quickly when I have a feeling that John Lynch and Kyle are prepared to move on with what they have right now. They drafted Jamichael Hasty, or they signed Jamichael Hasty out of Baylor, who had a good career there. They have a history of free agent running backs like Raheem that have gone and have great success. And so I have a feeling that they're going to stay firm with what they have. They have obviously some other contracts that they have to take care of, including a tight end that might be a little bigger priority at this point. So Raheem has that, you know, he certainly has that right to sit out and demand a trade. I don't know that that's is going to get consummated at this point, though, this late in the game right now.
Kyle Shanahan, you know, has a general manager in John Lynch, but this is clearly his decision as the guy who runs the football operations department. He's also known as something of a player's coach. Is this the kind of thing that would eventually end the notion of him as a player's coach? Because you can't be a player's coach and the general manager telling guys they can't have raises, whether they earn them or not. Is this sort of a moment of transition for Shanahan that way?
I think it can be. I mean, it's a good point. It's a really good point. But, you know, the players got to play. Coaches got to coach. You know, somebody has to. I mean, you can influence John Lynch and Prague, you know, all the different guys above, you know, the York family, and say, we got to get this guy done. You know, we have to maneuver some contracts in order to get. I mean, you could certainly go to bat for certain players, but you can't. You just can't wilt in the face of any sort of player demands. I mean, you got to stay firm. There are certainly at times, not every player is the same. You don't treat all players the same. Running backs don't have the same value as all pro tight ends. They just don't, especially in a system where three or four different running backs can have success and have had success in a given game sometimes. So I just don't – I'm a little bit like Damon here. I just don't see the leverage at this point to pull this. Although, he certainly, like I said, he's got the right to do it. And sometimes you win, and sometimes you lose badly, and the team just moves on without you. And then you miss training camp, and are you in shape? And, you know, do you – and every day that goes by, you know, do the fines that they're going to hit you with get rescinded? Or is that going to come out of that contract?
If we're talking about using leverage, it seems like Patrick Mahomes did an awfully good job of that. And lots to say about the size of the deal overall, potentially. But just from a length perspective, if Patrick Mahomes is off the market and someone gives Brian Baldinger an expansion NFL team and says you can pick any player in the league to start your team, you just have to give him a 10-year contract. Are there other guys in the league that appeal to you?
Well, I think Deshaun Watson would be a guy that you would certainly consider. I mean, he's young, he's successful, he's been he's just an unbelievable presence. He's loves being the face of an organization. He wants it all on his shoulders. I think he's going to have success in the postseason. He did this year. I think it's going to continue. I wouldn't have any problem. I mean, if that's what it takes to lock a guy up and to say, like, we're out of the quarterback market for the next decade, I wouldn't mind putting that contract in front of Deshaun Watson and saying, you're ours. You're going to be a Houston Texan for the rest of your life.
One of the more amazing things about the deal is that it comes from Kansas City. Who would have ever thought that the highest paid player in the history of American sports would be from Kansas City? That felt like it had New York, L.A., Boston, Chicago written all over it. But it just shows you when you show up and begin your career as good as anyone, Mahomes is probably as close to being worth $500 million as we can pretend anyone in sports is actually worth. What is a shot, though, that this team really has to remain competitive with that much of the salary cap throughout this deal committed to one guy? I mean, I've talked to you long enough, Brian, to know that you believe that, you know, you got to spread the money around a football team, because no matter how good a guy is, he can't be making all the money. But this one guy is a little bit of an interesting cat.
They lost a lot of free agents this year that they weren't able to re-sign. It's going to be a factor. I do believe that's part of what Bill Belichick is looking at in New England, is that, you know, starting with Tom Brady and any other free agents that were out there, that we're just not going to put $40 million into a quarterback. We'd rather build the team around him. And I thought there might be some resistance when Russell Wilson was up last year in Seattle, like maybe they'd be the team that would put the money into the defense line, the secondary, the offensive line, and just go in a different direction. But if you have Patrick Mahomes, he's the most exciting player in the league right now. There was a lot of cachet to that. The contract's actually very affordable for the next 4 years. It's in line with what other quarterbacks are making. It does bump up starting in year five quite a bit, which really makes it difficult to build a team around you. But I do believe that we're at the ceiling here for what you pay quarterbacks versus how you build a football team. We have seen, except for Tom Brady, that teams that are winning Super Bowls are doing it with quarterbacks on rookie contracts. You know, Joe Flacco and Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes, on and on. And so it is, we're up against that ceiling right now, and I don't know when the next player. Maybe it's, you know, they're just not going to, like, maybe that's what's going on in Green Bay right now. They're just not going to pay even an Aaron Rodgers $35 million to be the quarterback. We'll take our chances with Jordan Love, and we'll build a really good team around him with a lot more money to spend.
What would be the likelihood that the next guy who gets a similarly structured contract would be Lamar Jackson? And the reason why I ask that is because I don't know that Mahomes is going to do the whole 10 years, and I'm pretty sure he's not going to get the $500 million. I think too many things have to go right for the Chiefs year in and year out for that to happen, but be that as it may. Is Lamar Jackson the next guy you see getting a similarly structured deal?
I don't think so, only because of his style of play. I mean, he did run for 1,260 yards last year. And, you know, I mean, it's just you run the amount of times that he ran last year and take the hits that he took. I mean, there's nobody. LeBron James wouldn't survive 10 years, you know, playing that style of football. So I think the style that he plays prohibits to giving somebody like that a 10-year contract. You just know that, and look, maybe you get a great 5 years out of Lamar Jackson. And, you know, then the punishment takes its toll and you move on. But in that 5 years, you have a really exciting team and a chance to go all the way in the AFC every year with them. We got to see how this year plays out. I don't believe that he has to run for 1,260 yards to be an MVP candidate. I think that he's got a really good team around him, that he doesn't have to take the punishment or run as much, but we'll see. But I just think the style of play prohibits from giving him a contract extension for 10 more years.
Brian, what is the shake my hand, sign the paper right now number that gets Kittle re-upped for the Niners? What would you put in front of Kittle?
Well, I mean, I guess if you've just come out with the average per year, I would say that, you know, if Amari Cooper is getting somewhere in the neighborhood of $20 million a year, and I know he's a wide receiver, but, I mean, you got to start saying $20 million is probably the figure. You know, however you average that out, however you prorate that, I got to figure that it's going to be in the $18 to $20 million range right now.
Man, that's an awful lot of money for a tight end, even the best, one of the best I've ever seen all around. But you're right. I mean, the going rate at premium targets seems to be right around there. I know we got to let you go. We've already gone too long here, but I have one more question mm-hmm. for you. How bad would week one look if we don't have weeks zero through, however, if we have no preseason, how ugly will weeks 1, 2, 3, 4 be?
September will look like July. October might begin to look like August. It will be awful. I mean, even to the untrained eye, it'll be bad-looking football, from a lot of penalties to just lack of cohesion to offenses that, because, you know, you just need one thing to go wrong in offense and the play can blow up. I think we're looking at really bad quality of football probably into October. I think it'll take the month of September to kind of, you know, build an offensive line, to build continuity, to build, you know, a real cohesive-looking team.
Always good to talk to you, Baldy. Thanks for joining us out of nowhere today, man. This was not scheduled. We really appreciate your time, as always. Stay safe and sound.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime. I'll talk to you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.